Hi, good afternoon. My name is Phil Rosen, and I'm a partner at Weil Gotshal, and I'm your host for today. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this event. Before I introduce our distinguished speaker, Itamar Marcus, I want to take a moment to tell you about the forum's important work and encourage you, those of you who haven't yet joined, to please join its efforts. The forum is run by Daniel Pipes, and under his direction, it works to define and promote American interests in the Middle East. It has consistently displayed an unparalleled grasp of the key issues, whether exposing the threat posed by radical Islam before anybody else, working for Palestinian acceptance of Israel, urging the Bush administration to better manage its democracy efforts, thinking through strategies to contain the Iranian threat, or through one of its programs called Campus Watch, critiquing the extremist orthodoxy that dominates Middle East studies at North American universities. The forum does it through research, publishing, media work, and public education, including today's program. The forum energizes public debate by addressing a wide range of issues and by offering fresh and sound perspectives on policy. I ask anyone who's interested and hasn't yet done so, visit the website www.meforum.org and learn more about the forum. Also, add your name to the email list outside so that you can receive writings and news about events. Again, before I introduce our distinguished speaker, I ask everyone to please turn off mobile phones and pagers and hold all your comments and questions till the end. This is an interesting marriage today. It's a marriage of the Middle East Forum, which I think is one of the greatest efforts in the Middle East debate, with Itamar Marcus and Palestinian Media Watch, which is another one of the great doers that's out there in this important issue. Palestinian Media Watch is a terrific organization, and you'll hear a lot more about what they do, but let me just tell you a little bit about the issue. The issue right now is what's going on in Palestinian society. The PLO uses jargon of pan-Arabism and secular nationalism, but Hamas is an Islamist organization. They say Islam is the solution. What does this transformation mean for Palestinians, Israel, and the United States? Mr. Marcus will document for you the adoption of Islamist ideology by the Fatah infrastructure through video, newspapers, and school textbooks, resulting in the Islamization of Palestinian society. Let me talk a little bit about what Palestinian Media Watch is. It's the leading organization monitoring and reporting on the media of the Palestinian Authority. So what they do is they spend an enormous amount of time with very little resources studying what's being said in the Palestinian media. They were the first to report that Yasser Arafat was out there saying one thing to his people and saying something else to the rest of the world. And they reported on it and raised it to a level where finally, after many years, the world recognized that that was the case. The Washington Times reports that Palestinian Media Watch, quote, has easily reported more on incitement and indoctrination by the Palestinian Authority than all Western media outlets combined. Mr. Marcus himself was a member of the Israeli delegation to the Trilateral Commission Committee to Monitor Incitement, which was established under the Y Accords. His articles have appeared in a wide range of media, including the Jerusalem Post and Canada's National Post. He has testified before Congress, addressed the European Union, and is a frequent guest speaker at U.S. colleges and universities. In 2007, February of this year, he held a joint press conference with Hillary Clinton at the U.S. Senate to draw attention to the incitement of violence in Palestinian textbooks. As I say, Itamar Marcus is one of those people who doesn't just speak and doesn't just raise issues, but he's out there doing things by raising it to Congress, to the media all around the world, and addressing the issue before public and private sources. Let me please join me in welcoming you to Marmol. Just one other point is, when Itamar first started Palestinian Media Watch, I think it was 1996, one of his first public appearances was in this room at before one of the Jewish organizations. And you'll see his presentation today. I'll just tell you that back then it was some handwritten notes that appeared on the screen. But he's gone way beyond that, and he's done a hell of a lot of things in the last 11 years.
Thank you,
Itamar.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Phil. And I just want to say that a little bit of introduction. Palestinian Media Watch was founded 11 years ago in order to get a sense of what the Palestinians were saying amongst themselves in Arabic. Until that point, we heard what they were saying in English to the media, what they were saying in English to negotiators. We wanted to know what they were saying in Arabic, and in particular, we wanted to know what they were saying to their children. Because what they were saying to the children was what they really believed, and what they were saying to children was going to determine the face of the next generation. Now, during these years, we've been studying everything in the Palestinian newspapers, everything on Palestinian television, school books, including things like sports pages, culture, crossword puzzles, entertainment, in order to get a sense of what's happening in Palestinian society, the media being our window to Palestinian society, not just at the leadership level, but even at the children level, or especially at the children level. Now, I just want to open with some examples from sports to give you a sense how sports, which around the world is entertainment, which around the world is recreation, what is being done with sports in the Palestinian Authority. This is an article about a soccer tournament. It was named the Abdel Basset Udeh Championship Cup. It was for 14-year-old boys. Who is Abdel Basset Udeh? He was a suicide terrorist who blew himself up on Passover at the Seder 4 years ago, killing 31 Israelis. Each of the teams are named after a different terrorist, and in fact, the brother of Abdel Basset Udeh gave out the trophies at the end. The entire tournament was to glorify suicide terror, and this was in the school system of the Palestinian Authority. Other examples, summer camps named for Wafa Idris for girls. Wafa Idris, the first woman suicide terrorist. By the way, this is very interesting. Thanks were given to UNICEF for its support of the camps. This was United Nations money funding the Wafa Idris summer camp. Two summers in a row, summer camps were named after Ayat al-Akhras, 17-year-old girl suicide terrorist, youngest suicide terrorist. These are all official events of the Ministry of Youth and Sports in the Palestinian Authority. Now, just to give you some recent examples, two different soccer tournaments, one named the Saddam Hussein football tournament, one the Loyalty Cup for the Shaheed leader Saddam Hussein. And just this week, there was another Rantisi Cup, Rantisi, former head of the Hamas, and one of the teams was actually the 57-year-old woman suicide terrorist from just a few months ago, the oldest suicide terrorist, grandmother, was November of 2006, and she had her name on one of the teams. So that sports, and this is so significant because sports, of course, impacts on youth. One of the things that is the most innocent in a normal society is being used to role model for children to create heroes and role models of the worst terrorists in the Palestinian Authority. We even study things like crossword puzzles that appear in the official newspapers. Just give you a few examples which are very significant. One was CLUE, Jewish Center for Commemorating the Holocaust and the Lies. And the solution is Yad Vashem. And so that you've got is what you'll get from an academic analyzing it. Here it's working down to the people very, 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 very subtly in a crossword puzzle. Other examples from recent crossword puzzles, the occupied Palestinian city, and the answer is Ashkelon. Very significant to the world media in English, to negotiators, Judea and Samaria is occupied. To their own people, every bit of Israel is referred to as occupied. And here's another example. Port City in Palestine, the solution is Jaffa just a few months ago, that all of Israel is occupied Palestine. So the messages to their own people in Arabic are completely different than the messages they present to the world, and these are coming from all from Fatah sources. Now, I want everyone knows the Hamas is the problem, and we know that they focus on turning the conflict into a religious conflict. I want to just give you a sense of what exactly this means, turning it into a religious conflict. But just to give you a sense, this is the opening of the Hamas charter. it starts with a covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement. Now notice already in the name, the PLO is the Palestine Liberation Organization. The focus was on an area of land, which they called Palestine. The Hamas don't even have that in their name. They're an Islamic Resistance Movement. Also from their introduction here, they are part of the Muslim Brotherhood in Palestine. They're part of a global Islamic war. It opens up with a verse from the Quran, which is basically an Islamic supremacist verse: ye are the best nation that has been raised up into mankind. And the movement's program is Islam and embraces all of Islamic concepts, all aspects of life, spreading Islam, conversion to Islam. The goal is Islam. Israel, destruction of Israel, is one paragraph in that goal of global Islam. And that's how they see it, and that's how they perceive it. The entire world, and as you'll see later in some of their other statements, the entire world, including this room we are here today, will all be under Islam. Eventually, they don't only say it, and this is significant, they really do believe it. And sometimes people listen to what they say, and what the Fatah says, oh, this is posturing. This is not posturing. They sincerely believe us, and let's at least respect that sincerity, and then we'll treat it properly. Now, that's from the general. Now, to the specifics regarding Israel, in their charter, Palestine is Islamic waqf. No one can renounce it or part of it. Palestine, the land, all of Israel is Islamic waqf. Meaning, this is not their nationalistic demand to destroy Israel. This is God's demand, because any area, any building, any house, any field that was Islamic waqf, Islamic trust, is not allowed to remain in the hands of the infidels. And this is the message to the people. This is not our plan. This is God's plan. Now, beyond denying Israel's right to exist, they also deny Jews' right to exist. And there was something incredible which we published today. I'll get to later, but I want to show you this in their charter. Our struggle against the Jews is wide-ranging. Not against Israel, not Zionists. It's a struggle against Jews, and they include in their charter this famous or infamous hadith. Hadith is tradition attributed to Muhammad. The time of resurrection will not come until Muslims fight the Jews and kill them. Jews will hide behind rocks and trees, which will cry, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him. This is the call for genocide. It appears in the hadith as part of the conditions for resurrection, the conditions for the redemption of all of humanity. Hamas puts it in their charter, and doesn't just put it there, they say as follows. Hamas is looking forward to implement Allah's promise, whatever time it may take. So this is how they see genocide. They're looking forward to implement it. And people used to wonder, people still wonder, how could suicide terrorists go onto buses, go into restaurants, see children sitting there, see women sitting there, and blow them up? And the answer is, they don't see women and children sitting there. They see the enemies of God sitting there. They see the impediments to the redemption of humanity sitting there. And this is why they are blowing people up as a service to humanity and not as the horrific act that it is. And this is their perception and this is their belief. And this, of course, is all God. This is from their charter. It is a truth not to be questioned. Nationality of Hamas, character, divine factors. This is not our plan. This is God's plan. Don't tell us to compromise or to change, because this is not our opinion. That is their message to their people and to everyone else who's listening. Now, just to give you a sense, people always assume that the Fatah was similar. I just want to give you a sense of how dramatic this change is. The PLO charter has no reference to Allah. The Hamas charter, 105 references. References to Muhammad, zero. The Hamas charter, 7. Likewise, Quran. The entire Hamas charter is an Islamic document. The PLO charter was, in 1965, a totally secular document. So this is a dramatic change. Allah wasn't even, I mean, who would have believed that today, knowing what we know today about the Palestinian Authority, that in the original charter, they didn't even say, please God, do this. Nothing. It was totally, totally void. So this is a dramatic, dramatic change in Palestinian identity to have the Hamas now with 56% of the seats in the Palestinian legislature. Now, this wasn't a surprise to us when Hamas won the elections. This show you two polls here. This is from a few months before elections. 68% of Palestinians wanted Sharia law for their country. And another poll, which went from the general to even the specific, do you support or oppose hand amputation? Hand amputations are the punishment of thieves. 50% won already then, 2003. Another 30% or so wanted it under different conditions, and only 20% rejected out of hand. So you're talking about 80% of Palestinians under the right conditions of a decent judiciary, proper judiciary, would support hand amputation. So we're talking about a very, very Islamic society, an extremely Islamic. None of this image, Hanan Ashrawi, Saeed Barikat, appear on CNN, Fox News, and they're giving this very secular image. This is not Palestinian society. Today they have moved all the way into the camp of very radical Islam, with even things like hand amputations being something that only 20% reject. Now, just to show you how this is affecting all of society, the election results are from, what, a year and a half ago. Look at recent elections, all during April of this year. Hebron University, Hamas won the student body. Berzeit University, Hamas won the student body. Bethlehem University, Fatah won. So what we're seeing is Palestinian society is struggling. Some of the areas are going more Hamas, some more Fatah. But Hamas is certainly firmly entrenched in society and their Islamic ideology. Now, just one more significant thing. We handed out a report here in Palestinian school books that we just published. As significant as that is, a poll from just a month ago, not a poll, an election results for the Palestinian Teachers Union, and the Hamas Islamic faction won 63% of the vote in Gaza and the West Bank 61%. So not only do the books now promote the Hamas ideology, but the teachers throughout Palestinian society are now espousing the Hamas ideology. So we're talking about, this is going to be, no matter what's written in the school books, this is what's going to be passed on to the next generation. Now, how did this all happen? How did this develop? I'm going to show you that all of these messages were used by Fatah over the years, not recognizing Israel's right to exist, not recognizing Jews' right to exist, and using Islamic sources. I'm not sure Arafat and the leadership intended to create a religious society. They were using it more like Machiavelli talked about, using religion to keep people in line, to draw them, and to draw credit to yourself. But unfortunately, or fortunately, forever the matter is, they became so successful that Palestinian society today has shifted all the way over to Islam. I'm just going to show you some examples over this period, how this comes. So this is, for example, the school books. The Fatah in English tells you that they recognize Israel's right to, or Israel's existence. In the school books produced by Fatah in the last few years, there is no Israel on any map, and these are all examples. This is one of the new school books that we just reported on at the end of 3 months ago. Here it says Palestine. These are for grade 12, new books just published. Now I want to show you how popular culture, how television, also controlled by the Palestinian Authority, by the Fatah, parallels the messages in the formal education. I'll give you one example. This is from the new school books, just came out. Palestine's war ended with a catastrophe that is unprecedented in history. The Zionist gang stole Palestine and established the state of Israel. The Zionist gang. Now I want to show you a video. This is from Palestinian television. They ran this series twice. The series depicts the creation of Israel. And this is how they depict the early Zionists, or the Zionists in the 40s, and how the gang stole Palestine.
هاي مش أرض المندوب الزف حتى ينزلك إياه شي خير انت كل جنتو إياه مينو مينو جاية مينو شلون
This is what they call, Palestinians call their historical narrative. It was these people who have no place here, they're foreigners. They came with British okay, they're imperialists, and they came and they stole Palestine. I'm going to show you how this is done currently. This is a documentary that's appeared on Palestinian television probably 30 times by now over the last year. And it's about Jaffa, occupied Jaffa, Jaffa, Palestinian city. We're talking about Fatah television. We're talking about Fatah run by the president's office, by President Mahmoud Abbas. And this is about Jaffa. Okay, we have the past, either the present or the future, just get out. This is calling for essentially the expulsion of all Israelis from Israel. And like I say, this is on Fatah-produced television, and it's run repeatedly. It's not just a one-time event. They constantly are doing the show. Another similar program, which I won't play for you, is about the city of Akko. This was most recently shown just essentially a week ago, April 26th, also probably 20, 25 times in the last year, constantly creating a very strong Palestinian identity, not focused on Ramallah and Jenin, but focused on Israeli cities like Akko and Jaffa. This is what the focus is on Palestinian television. Now, the newest school books, which we just released, and which Hillary Clinton agreed to participate with me in a press conference in the Senate in February of this year, are so significant because aside from the general non-recognition of Israel, they focus very strongly on this being a religious war for Allah. Israel has to be destroyed. I want to show you this in their words. They call it a ribat. A ribat is defined as one of the actions related to jihad. It's being found in areas where the struggle between Muslims and their enemies and the persistence of Palestinian people in these lands is the greatest of the ribat. One of the greatest. This is one of the greatest Islamic wars. They're getting a great reward from Allah. And the reason that the Palestinian ribat is so great is that momentous battles in Islamic history took place in this land, and they are in ribat until resurrection. No possibility here for compromise. This is going to go on forever. And this is not just a Palestinian issue. This is an Islamic issue. All of the Islamic nations are waiting for you to succeed because the great momentous battles and victories have happened. And then they cite the three different significant battles that turn the tide of Islamic history. And that's the way they present Israel's destruction. Right now, Islam is going toward world domination. Israel is like that cork that's holding them back. And as soon as Israel will fall, they will continue and spread out. And that is the imagery here that's been given in this new Palestinian school book. They also say explicitly about Israel's destruction, Palestine will be liberated by its men, women, young, elderly. Everyone will participate in destruction of Israel. Now, I want to show you how Mahmoud Abbas double talks on this issue of recognition. Now, this was a front page story and a front page headline when Condoleezza Rice was in Jerusalem last year. PA Chairman Abbas, Hamas must recognize Israel. This was the headline, and then she gave him great, we have great admiration for you, for your leadership. This is what Rice said about Abbas. I want to show you. This is October 4th. Look what we got on Palestinian television that same day. That same day we saw it. It was actually on the day before. Look at what he said in an interview just the very day before.
ورأيت هذا الحماس ربما يكون لديها حق في موضوع أن هلاك من الإسرائيليين. حماس مش مطلوب منها أن تعترف ليس مطلوب من حماس توجه الشعبي أن تعترف.
Incredible. Here he's getting praised for justice, and he has no problem saying the identically opposite, diametrically opposed opposite message. To even be honest, not only doesn't Hamas have to recognize, but even we, the Fatah, he's the head of the Fatah, even we don't have to recognize Israel. Then he goes on to explain, as he walks on the edge of a pin, he goes on to explain that the Palestinian minister must recognize the Israeli minister, otherwise he won't be able to get money, for example, that the Israeli minister owes him. But aside from that, we don't have to recognize Israel. He says it explicitly. This is typical of not just of two things, of how the Palestinians can talk with two different messages on the very same day, but it's also typical of the inability of the West to respond to this, because there was no response. There should have been a very strong response. This was sent to people in the State Department, people in government, and yet there was no statement or message from Condoleezza Rice that there was something wrong with what he had done. Now, we've talked about denying of Israel. I want to show you how denial of Jews' right to exist has always been a facet of the Palestinian Authority. I'll give you some examples. I'll start with something very recent. This is on Palestinian television. This is the Speaker of the Palestinian Legislative Council. This is a demonization of Jews and everything Jewish that is very typical. Okay, and this is what I talked about in the beginning. if the Jews are killing people, if their Talmud is telling them to kill other people who aren't Jews, and if that's what's in their Bible, and that's what's in the protocols of the elders of Zion, then fighting them is a service to humanity. Fighting them is self-defense, and that's exactly what is being said here by this deputy speaker of the House. I'm going to show you this from a Fatah religious leader, similar message. Okay, the Jews are a virus, like AIDS. The whole world is suffering, and then he goes on to say at the end, the Jews are a mere 7 million, he says 7 million people, yet we cause all of the world's problems. So this message of the Jews being a threat to all of humanity has been a basic message in PA society. I want to show you also here how we go from the general to the specific. Not only do we talk about killing, but we actually do. This is a children's program dealing with history through song and dance. I want to show you how they taught the Holocaust, turning it, not just denying the Holocaust that we saw before, this is turning the Holocaust on its head. Okay, the Jews had ovens to bake human beings. We baked them in ovens. This is the message here on official Palestinian television. Again, if this, but and it's not just incitement to, it's creating the atmosphere whereby killing Jews then becomes a service. Now, I want to. This is the message of how evil the Jews are, and I want to show you now the message of therefore you have to come and kill the Jews. Okay, now here we're seeing, this is so significant, the same Islamic message that I cited to you from the Hamas charter, and who's saying this? This is being said by a Fatah religious leader. In fact, he was the most prominent religious leader for a number of years, giving 60% of the sermons on Fatah Palestinian Authority television, and he is using that same Islamic source that the Jews all have to be killed. Now, this continues to be used regularly, and I won't play it for you again, but the Hamas spokesman just said the exact same thing on March 30th on official Palestinian television, quoted the identical source, calling for the extermination of all Jews. So that what you have here is this message built up. The Jews are so dangerous, therefore they all have to be killed. Now, this package of the killing of Jews as self-defense in God's word is the identical packaging that Hitler gave us. In Mein Kampf, and I want to show this to you, if the Jew is victorious over the people of the world, it will be the funeral wreath of humanity. Same message. Jews are a danger to humanity. When I defend myself against a Jew and fighting for the work of the Lord. Killing Jews was packaged as self-defense by Hitler as well. He didn't just tell his people, go and do it. He likewise had to legitimize it. He had to create a situation where decent people would be willing to kill Jews. And this is how he did it. It is self-defense. And this is also God's will. Now, what's so significant about this is something that I just added to this presentation literally an hour ago. It's something that we released today to our email list and to the media, and which is this exact message of Hitler appeared in an article in the Hamas newspaper. I want to read this to you. We find more than once condemnation and denunciation of the resistance operation. That means terror. But there is no other choice but to use restraint regarding these condemnations. We have to ignore these condemnations. Why? So that everyone will know that we did this. We've been doing terror only because our Lord commanded it. So I did it not on my own accord, and so that people will know that the extermination of Jews is good for the inhabitants of the world's lands, and which Allah gave His blessing for the sake of the inhabitants. The killing of Jews is for the benefit of all mankind. Just this week, an Al Rasala, the Hamas newspaper. And don't blame us. It's our Lord. It's exactly what the Nazis said. The Nazis said, we were just taking orders from our superiors. That's what they're saying. Don't say that we're doing it. We are not doing it on our own accord. This is what God wants. But the Nazis said it was their superior officers. And here they're saying, don't blame us. This is what God wants. And it's for the benefit of all mankind. And this is the Hamas, just this week in their paper. Now, this is on the adult level. How are children brought into this violence? And I want to give you some examples. At the very, very youngest of ages, children are taught to see violence as the ideal. This is from Palestinian Authority television preschool program.
Okay.
Okay, it's not believable. This is preschool education, that the way you resolve conflict with another child is you get a Kalashnikov rifle and commit a massacre. So this is how the message, and many, many examples through song and through dance, that children are brought onto this violence. Now, I want to touch on the issue of suicide terror. Suicide terror is so significant because it's always misinterpreted by the Western press and by leadership. They talk about the suicide terrorists as being so desperate. Now, I want you to understand it is not an act of desperation. Suicide terror is packaged by the Palestinians as an act of aspiration, in fact, the ultimate aspiration, and I want you to see this in their own words. Here from a religious leader, "We are not like you because we do not desire life. We do not desire life. Our goal is to die for Allah." Now, I want you to play something for you that was just on TV a few months ago. Religious leader, not just dying, listen to how he describes the desire of the Shaheed, the martyr, how he describes their desire not just to die, but to completely be dismembered.
جسم كله مقرر ها الامعاء طالعه الاطبيعه رايحه منظر صعب ها اخطر شيء الانسان فيه هو اخطر شيء يرغب اليه الشهداء يا رب رجعنا كم مره على هالشيء رجعنا حتى تقتل الطائرات حتى تقتل الرؤوس عن الاجساد لازم ننسى اذا قتلت الجن يا سلام ويرى مقعده من الجنه
Okay, so this is it. One, the Shaheed wants to be dismembered. Now, this description, I think, is clear that he's trying to encourage suicide terror. That's what happens to the suicide terrorist. His body gets blown up into all those pieces. And here he is saying, this is the ideal that the Shaheed wants. And look at these rewards he gets, including the 72 virgins. Now, this message of the 72 virgins is so significant because it's typical of the way the Western media ignores something which is so prominent coming from Palestinian society and Islamic society because it doesn't make sense to us. So because it doesn't make sense, they laugh about it, they joke about it, they ignore it. But I want to show you that this is not something that the Palestinians laugh about. They see this so, so seriously. They absolutely believe this is true. And I want to show you what they do with this message of the 72 virgins on every level, both in terms of promotion and also after the fact. Now what you're seeing now is a music video, which is one of the longest running music videos in Palestinian society. Started in the year 2000, and the last time we saw it, April 29. That's just a few days ago. We're talking about thousands of times on PATV. Now what's the message? Here this woman is shot in the back. She becomes a Shahida. And what happens to her? As soon as she becomes a Shahida, she's transferred to paradise and joins the other maidens of paradise, dancing, all dressed in white. These are all the virgins, and they're waiting. They're waiting for the next Shaheed. He's likewise shot in the back. And where does he go? He goes straight to heaven, and he literally gets the jackpot. He gets the entire group of women who now, he is the Shaheed who gets this whole group of women. Now, this is so foreign to us that we almost would laugh at this, but just remember, this has not left Palestinian television since 2000. That's how important it is for the framers of Palestinian television to get this message to their people over and over and over again. This is a total, total brainwashing. Look what you can get. The results are totally, totally successful. It is taken as axiomatic. In the new school book that just came out, they talk about the Shaheed's wedding. They talk about his death at the wedding. This is one suicide terrorist amongst many who use this terminology. Listen, this is just before his attack. "While you escort me," this is what he was anticipating when he went out on his suicide murder, killing seven Israelis. Now listen to this mother, a mother of two terrorists. What does she say? She's interviewed about their death, and she said as follows: "We don't say to the mothers of Shaheeds, 'We've come to comfort you,' but we have come to bless you on the wedding of your son. congratulations to you on the Shahada. We give out drinks, we give out sweets. It's congratulations on the wedding of your son. So the mothers see it as the wedding of their children, and they don't mourn because it's a wedding and you don't mourn a wedding. So this image, which we think is a joke and everyone just laughs about it, you have to put on Palestinian glasses, look at the world through their eyes if you want to understand this is not an act of desperation. This is motivation for these men. Now, children are drawn into this likewise, and I want to show you a striking, striking text you cannot believe. This is what children are being taught. This is an 8th grade school book. Do not talk yourself into flight. Your enemies seek life and you seek death. Death is not bitter in the believer's mouth, etc., etc. Literally, turning the world upside down. It's the enemies who seek life, but you seek death. Now again, it's so foreign, people can't believe this, but get this. Again, look at the world through their eyes, death. When we talk about the ancient Egyptian society, their main religious book was the Book of the Dead. They built the pyramids, they built everything for the death. The Palestinian society has done that same thing. They are worshipping death for Allah. It is becoming the ideal. It is now the ideal. It is even greater than life. Now, Palestinian children's television has many, many videos convincing young children to aspire to death. This is one that ran thousands of times on PA TV, where a boy writes a farewell letter, and as he's dying, as a shaheed, he says, Shahada is sweet. When I embrace you, my land, he literally falls down. I'll show you one which is so significant because it explains to us the motivation of the Palestinians for brainwashing their children. There's a video that opens with the following. Now, the dates here are very significant. I'll tell you about them in a minute. It opens with this. I'm waving to you, not in parting, but to say, follow me, Muhammad al-Dur. Now, Muhammad al-Dur was the boy killed in the crossfire in the Gaza Strip. And he's telling other children to follow him, literally to follow him to paradise. And then what happens is you see him playing. He's playing with a Ferris wheel. He's playing with a kite. He's having a great time in child's paradise. Now, of course, there are no Ferris wheels in Gaza Strip. And he's telling children, follow me, and you will have all of this if you become a shaheed. Now look at the dates on this. This is so significant. This ran from 2000, the beginning of the terror war, the Intifada, what they call, through 2003. It was taken off of TV the day I showed this at a hearing in the United States Senate, where there was very, very outraged reaction. It got a lot of press exposure here, and it was taken off of television. It suddenly came back last year, June 28, 2006, and it appeared 3 times over 2 days. The question is, why did it suddenly reappear in June? And the answer is very simple. This was right after they kidnapped the Israeli soldier, and Israel massed its troops on the Gaza Strip. The Lebanese war hadn't yet begun. It was just about, they were expecting an Israeli invasion. Now, a normal country, when they're expecting an invasion, gets their soldiers ready. Palestinians start convincing their children that they should be dying because they wanted children on the front lines again. And this is exactly the date that it returned. We publicized this again, got exposure, and they took it off of television after those 3 showings. But this shows again the motivation to send their children out because this is how they can defeat Israel in this war. Now, this is from the Hamas website, and I love this picture on the Hamas website because if you would see this picture, and I'd ask everyone in this room to give me a caption for this picture, nobody would guess. I mean, this is so wonderful. The mother and child are so happy. What did the Hamas put as the caption of this picture? The child is happy because Hassan achieved Shahada. Okay, this is not desperation. This is aspiration. This is what they're being taught. Now, this is a new video. Appeared on Hamas television first time a month ago. It's appeared numerous times, including just this week, actually 3 times in the last week on Hamas TV. This girl is acting out, is an actress pretending to be the 4-year-old daughter of Rahim Riashi. Rahim Riashi was a suicide terrorist. She's acting out the last day of Rahim Riashi, and the child is watching her mother prepare the bomb. Watch. Okay, here she sees the report on her mother being killed, and temporarily she mourns. Thank you. this is shocking even to us. We thought we'd seen everything. A four-year-old girl, I know that you are carrying something more precious than me. The bomb was more precious than me. This is the message. And then she swears to go in her footsteps, and she picks up the bomb at the end, the next stick of dynamite. We put this on YouTube when we publicized it. In 4 days, it had over 100,000 viewings on YouTube alone, and it ran for a number of days on Fox News as well. But this is beyond the media. This is telling us about the soul of Hamas society, that they could do this and direct suicide terror toward four-year-old children. Now, going back to Fatah TV, because they were focusing on teenagers, as you saw up till now, this is a poster of three children who went on suicide mission. They were all killed. And I want to show you what Fatah TV did when three 15-year-old boys went on a suicide mission, how they turned them into role models for other children.
ولكنهم أعتقد أنهم متفوقين يعلمون كل إنسان فلسطيني
These kids became medals of honor. Their shahada became role models. 15-year-olds, instead of saying, look, these boys are dead, don't do what they did. It's just the opposite. These boys are being presented on Fatah TV as the role models for other children. The result is that there are many polls that talk about between 70 and 80% of Palestinian children aspiring to death. It's no way that they could see life as greater than death, because that would be a rejection of the values they're taught throughout their school system, throughout the media. And I will, the summation of this is these two 11-year-old girls. Some of you may have seen this because this has been around, but it's so significant. I'll play it again. How 11-year-old girls show and express their rejection of life instead in favor of death. Death is not shahada. They've seen those pictures of Muhammad Adur in paradise with the Ferris wheels, and she's convinced that death is not shahada, because if you die as a shaheed, you're going to be getting this wonderful, wonderful afterlife. The final note that I want to touch on is this Islamization. We, of course, touched on it in the beginning, but I want to show you, this is from just 2 weeks ago, on Palestinian television. Genocide is expected not just of Jews, but of Americans as well. And let me just show you, the person speaking here is a significant person, speaker of the Palestinian Council. It's on Fatah TV, but it's a Hamas member. And there you see that they don't actually differentiate as much as we do. There's a lot of blending, and that's why the American policy of trying to just work with Fatah and not Hamas is really misguided, because they don't differentiate. This is Hamas, this is Fatah TV, Hamas political leader.
الذي سبق حقوق الإنسان في معاملة الأسرى ولكن شعبنا ابتلي بالغدة السرطانية وهم اليهود في قلب الأمة العربية فكونوا على ثقة كونوا على ثقة أن أمريكا إلى زوال أمريكا تتخطط اليوم في العراق وفي أفغانستان أمريكا منهزمة وإسرائيل منهزمة وهزمت في لبنان وفي فلسطين وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم عليك باليهود ومن والاهم اللهم عليك بالأمريكان ومن والاهم اللهم احصهم عددا واقتلهم بددا ولا تغادر منهم أحدا.
Okay, count them. The last one literally called for extermination of Jews and of Americans. Both were presented here as the enemies of the Muslim world. Now, just to show you again from the Hamas website here, this is the America is the enemy, and it's a miracle he destroyed as well. Not just this, but this is the Hamas, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, don't see themselves as strictly a Palestinian issue. They are a global Islamic issue, and America, being the dominant force of Christian world, is seen as someone who will ultimately have to destroy as well. Now, this is just a little over a month ago, the former foreign minister, Islam will enter every house and will spread over the entire world. This is Hamas. I just want to show you, though, how this message of Islamic domination, the final thing I will show you, is how this is now being expressed on Hamas television in a new program, which will be exposed the first time on Fox News on Sunday. We just gave them the material this morning. There's a new program where they are using the image of Mickey Mouse for young children. As you see here, it's almost a double of Mickey Mouse. And I want to show you parts of three of these programs, because you will see they're obviously targeting a very young age audience here. Look at the way Mickey Mouse behaves, and look how this charming little girl is giving over these messages of hate. And like I said, this is a very, very new program, just started on Hamas television.
بقيادة العالم بقيادة إسلامية أليس كذلك يا أستاذ في الصلوات الخمسة أقول في المسجد وفي الصفوف الأولى حتى نستطيع أن نقود العالم ونذكركم أننا نحن العظماء انطلقنا في هذا البرنامج لنقود هذا العالم أنه كان لنا مسجد وكانت لنا حضارة وكان للمسلمين العزة والكرامة ولكن بإذن الله تعالى نحن رواد الغد سنعيد مجد هذه الأمة
نعم نحن رواد الغد سنعيد هذه الأمة مجدها وسنحرر الأقصى إن شاء الله وسنحرر العراق إن شاء الله وسنحرر بلاد المسلمين التي تشتاقها هذه الأبناء يشتاقها القدر
نعم إنهم أطفال يعني محتلون من قبل اليهود
Okay, and this goes on. This is from the first week. Now I'll show you something from the second week. Listen to the poetry reading that they put on television and look at the response of the Mickey Mouse. Final one has a nice American connection here. So this is the newest way of Hamas educating the kids. It's a brilliant show. It's a very charming, very cheery, sweet little girl. And of course, Mickey is, how many American children, millions, hundreds of millions, grew up on Mickey Mouse. And now the Palestinian Authority, the Fatah, the Hamas, is using the identical images And they do it with such charm, but they're talking about literally Islamic supremacy over the world, and they will defeat everyone, the murderers in Iraq, etc., etc. So this is what's happening with Palestinian Authority. We see, like I said, the Islamization of the society. We see the total rejection of Israel, which had always existed, is now being packaged completely as an Islamic dimension, an Islamic demand. Killing of Jews is what God wants. It will benefit all of humanity, ultimately identical to Nazi ideology. These are very dangerous forces in the Palestinian Authority. The differentiation that many make between the Fatah and the Hamas is a big mistake today. And in fact, at our press conference, Hillary Clinton said that. She said, "I'm not sure the Fatah is a peace partner based on what they're putting in their school books." So there is a lot of material here. It's material that we can use, to show the world what is really happening in the PA and the threat that they represent to Israel and to all of humanity and the United States as well, and the rest of the world. So thank you, and let me open up now for some questions. Specifically the charter? It's Islamic Brotherhood. These are all principles that appear in the principles of Islamic Brotherhood, in the writings of the Islamic radical Islamic leaders since the early part of the 20th century. So that this is just continuing in that direction of seeing all of the events, seeing the price of oil go up, seeing these all part of God's plan to give power to Islam, which is now taking over so many countries. Israel is just one little domino. There's Europe that's going. It's all part of a big plan, and Israel is just one little notch in that plan.
Thank you very much. It's just a terrific work that you're doing. I wonder whether you've got a true listeners on a true loyalty. But no, the serious question that I have, many years ago at Columbia University, there was a course by Professor Majid Chaudhuri, War and Peace in the Law of Islam, which I took. And as you well know, the world is divided to Darul Islam and Darul Harb, the world of the Islamic rule and the threat of the world war. But the Jews and Christians started, it couldn't be an independent state like Israel, no. The idea of the Zimri, the Allah of 2000, the people, the protected people, if they follow certain rules like that, try to challenge the leadership of Islam, they had rights, as you know, in the Islamic world. They had second status, but for a long time, they were able to live there in a second class of Islam. Now, this was contrary to this new stuff. I mean, how do they justify that in light of the
Well, both messages appear in the sources, and it's in certain periods in history when the Jews were very weak that the Muslim leaders, the Muslim rulers, focused on the willingness to allow Jews to exist as second-class citizens. Then that was what, today they're not focusing on that, at least not in what you're seeing here today. The tradition from the Hadith is an honest tradition in the Hadith that the Jews have to be killed in order to bring about the hour of resurrection, and that's an authentic tradition. It's a matter of what they want to focus on, because all the traditions are there. Look, you have Sheikh Palachi in Italy who reads the Quran differently and says that Islam recognizes Israel's right to exist, and he rejects all of this. He sees these people as hateful. It's a matter of what you're choosing and what the Palestinians have been choosing. Both the Fatah and the Hamas are all of these radical, radical Islamic teachings, not just about Israel, but about Jews. And it's become very, very mainstream today in the Palestinian Authority to see Jews as the impediment to world peace.
Well, are there any significant forces within the Palestinian movement who challenge it?
There are no significant forces that are getting coverage. In other words, there might be percentages. Look, there are people like Khaled Abu Tuameh, who you might read in the Jerusalem Post, who's a wonderful person, who is openly critical, who right now would feel that it would be terrible if this Palestinian society would have an independent state. He doesn't write that, but at least that's what he says, because of the way they have destroyed his people. They've destroyed his people. He sees that. So, but how many people... He can't even write this material in the Palestine. Now, he used to be the editor of Al-Fajr, the PLO newspaper. He's coming from the center of their world, and he won't write in their newspapers because he can't. So there might be more people. In fact, I asked him once, not so long ago, he's talking at the Hudson Institute, and I asked him, oh, how many people do you represent in the PA? And he said that he doesn't even know, he doesn't want to even make a suggestion. Like I say, if we look at election results, if we look at results of teachers, he unfortunately does not represent a lot of people, and certainly not prominent people today in the Palestinian Authority.
First of all, I would recommend to everyone that later this year they read The Legacy of Islamic Anti-Semitism, which is coming out from Dr. Andrew Boston, because it shows that, in fact, anti-Semitism is rooted in traditional Islam. I've read the book. There's no question about it. But in 1929, Muslims called for a return to Sharia law and the Jesus Pact. Arafat joined the Muslim Brotherhood in the 1950s. So, you know, and Fatah followed the Muslim Brotherhood rule of flexibility for all that time that they mentioned secular rules only. How can you say that it's only the Islamization now, when in fact we know this was their strategy all along to fool people?
I'm not sure someone like an Arafat saw this as a strategy to fool other people. I think he probably joined the Islamic Brotherhood because he saw it as a tool. He saw them having power. They were organized. It's difficult to talk about numbers. It's difficult to talk about numbers because our research goes back 12 years. But my sense is that we've seen the changes in the polls over the last 12 years since we started. And every single poll, we saw the support for Sharia law going up. In 2003, it was 42%, 42%. Before that, there was more people against it. So we've seen this continuous change, whether it was a tactic intended by the Fatah. It's difficult sometimes to say what was their intention, but it's clear that they were using Islam very prominently. It appeared in all their school books. There was regular Islamic programming on programming under the Fatah as well. And PATV stops 5 times a day every time it's time for prayers. So that Islam became so dominant that ultimately the society did pull over. Yeah.
Well, can I just follow up? I mean, isn't that one of the reasons that it's hard to explain to the press and the leadership that there is no difference and the press won't report it between Fatah and Hamas?
The press is following the lead today of certain governments, including Israel, who are creating this divide between the Hamas and Fatah. When there are people in the press who I met with people in Washington yesterday, senators and congressmen, when they see this material, they accept readily that they don't have the whole picture. And it's a matter, again, I think, of lack of information here on the part of much of the press. There are certain people who will never change, but on part of much of the press, I think it's a lack of information. I'll just give one striking example. On this report that we did on school books, and we focused on this religious side of it, the UN has a website and has a center for, I think it's called Humanitarian and Cultural Affairs. Even the UN gave us an incredible story where they focused on this danger of Islamization. I do believe that there is a tremendous amount of lack of information, and the more that we get this information out, the more that journalists and others open their eyes.
How can we help you be better known and publicize your material and circulate it on every level, from grassroots up to elected officials? And I'd like to raise the issue of child abuse. Our government officials, international officials, and organizations are so concerned with children's rights and protecting children, etc. Who is going to call this child abuse and tell us the way to live?
Well, the person, I'll start with the end, the person who actually very prominently called this child abuse was actually Hillary Clinton. At that hearing that I mentioned to you earlier where we presented these films, she quoted it and said, this is horrific child abuse. And then in February of this year when we were in Washington releasing the school books, she repeated that term. She said, in the past I've said it and I'll say it again. She said, this material profoundly poisons the minds of the Palestinian children, and she called it child abuse again. So it definitely is child abuse, and we have sent this material to Human Rights Watch and children's groups and organizations, and they express concern, but they don't actually, they haven't done anything. In terms of what you can do, yeah. Yes, you can get into that.
You know what, I'll answer the first question. The most important thing that we can do to help Itamar is to take his shoestring budget and expand it. He needs aid to try to get the word out, to produce more films, to delve more into the Palestinian textbooks, the Palestinian writings, the TV shows. He just needs more staffing and more assistance. On the tables, table over there, we've left envelopes so that you have easy way to contribute. But that's the most important thing we can do. Obviously, if you have websites, you know, he has a regular email service. You can take that and spread it around as thoroughly as you want, as you can. And that's what I do. I send out Itamar's material almost every day on my email list, and it's very important that we do so. The reason, the thing that we can do the most, as I say, to help Itamar is to help him grow and help him expand his work. So that's my pitch.
Okay, thank you. I just point out that until now, so literally now we are. An academic research institute, and we've been very passive about it. We send our material to journalists, we send our material to government, I meet with government very actively. Like I said yesterday, I was in Washington. What we're doing now is we want to be much, much more proactive, and we're setting up an entire, literally, branch of PMW, which is just going to deal with distribution. Right now, I dealt with all the production of the material, as well as the political context, as well as distribution. We are now going to have a separate branch working primarily in Israel, where we'll be in contact with all the hundreds of journalists who are there. Literally, we want to do this on a daily basis. This will be a separate, literally a separate wing that won't have to be busy with production, just getting it out. And I feel that we will impact tremendously, and this is what we're raising money for right now.
Ethan, a few questions. First of all, does any of this interpretation appear on Israel television for the Israelis?
Yes. Israeli TV, we'll be working with them more actively as well. But just to give you an example, a recent report on Palestinian school books, I released it there in the Education Committee. And what's so significant about this is we released it at the Education Committee, which is chaired by Michal Makio from Labor. Everyone across the board in the committee, including people like Avshalom Vilan from Meretz, all expressed horror at the Palestinian school books. Avshalom Vilan, in fact, from Meretz, asked me for an English copy that he was going to personally deliver to the foreign minister of Belgium, who had funded these books. So it's accepted across the board. That report and that event in the Education Committee was on every Israeli television station, was in every Israeli newspaper, and was on all the radio stations. So there is interest. When we can get it to them, they will report it. Our biggest weakness has been getting it to them, but that's what we want to grow in that direction now.
We're talking about textbooks now, but I believe it was 10 years ago we were so, we were so excited that there were going to be new Palestinian textbooks. They were going to be new, they were going to be fresh, and they were being sponsored by the UN, and they weren't new, they were worse than the old ones.
Yeah.
And now it seems like it's a new batch.
Our first report on school books was in 1998. The entire world put pressure on the Palestinians to change the school books. They started changing them in 2000. Every year they changed either one or two grades. This year they completed with 12th grade. They have now changed all their school books. And every year we've come out with new reports on the new books. I think what we'll do now is a total report on all their school books.
Because
in the beginning, they actually were somewhat better because they knew the whole world was looking at them. And when the world sort of ignored the slight problems and gave them A grades, they continue to get worse, and these are the worst of all the new books.
You access this information from regular Palestinian broadcasts.
Correct.
What prevents these broadcasts to be accessed by the Israeli public at large to see how anti-Jewish their neighbors really are? And what can be done to change that?
Anyone in Israel who would want to spend the, I can't remember how much we spend to get, we have two different satellite dishes. that allow us to get Palestinian and Hamas television. They each cost a couple of $100 to install. No one in Israel is really interested because it's coming out in Arabic. It does not appear on the regular Israeli cable or the regular Israeli satellite. They would have to put a separate satellite that would give them 80 or 90 different Arabic language stations. Most people aren't interested in that, but it's certainly accessible. Anyone who wants to can do it the same way we did.
I'd like to compliment you for continuing to do this for so many years.
Thank you.
When I look at the information that's not coming through to the public, it reminds me of the play that's on off-Broadway, The Accomplices, and Peter Bergson, and what he said, that the New York Times refuses to cover the Holocaust. The New York Times refuses to cover your information. And at least in the 40s, we had an excuse because we were driven by anti-Semitism. There's no such excuse today for us not getting the message into the New York Times. And even the Jewish Week doesn't cover your stuff. And I know because I went to the editor, the publisher, and asked him to do it. He said it's too dull. We have to get this in the Jewish Week so that the Jewish community doesn't even know about this. And this is a shunda, this is a shame, a busha, that it's not known even in our own community, that we here can't get it in our own paper. And the New York Times is a tough enough, but it's still, it needs to be taken there as well.
Okay, let me follow up on that. I mean, there are many, many newspapers that do know. Please, anyone who wants to receive our bulletins that we send out, as I said, we did today, probably about 3 a week. The bulletins are just new quotes, links to new videos. Just write to us, info@pmw.org.il, and you will be put on a list. Or you can take one of my cards on the way out, or give me your card and I'll put you on the list. And then, with this material, go to the Jewish Week, go to newspapers. There are many people who do this, and there are many places where this is done successfully. We had an example with the National Post of Canada, and this is very significant. They had written an editorial condemning Israel for Palestinian casualties in a particular event. And they wrote another editorial 3 days later, which started as follows. Since we condemned Israel 3 days ago, we have received so many notices of a Palestinian Media Watch bulletin that we bring the bulletin here in its totality. Now, what was that bulletin? That bulletin was showing that the Palestinian leadership called on men, women, and children, literally, to go, and elderly, men, women, children, and elderly, to go and put their bodies in front of the Israeli tanks. And then they were all marching to the Israeli tanks, and it was at that point that there was this accident. They condemned Israel, and we said in our bulletin, you don't condemn Israel if there are civilians who are intentionally walking into a combat zone. And what the National Post did is they printed our bulletin in its entirety. So that what happens is you can impact on the media, get our material out there, and when you see that there are mistakes in the media, many journalists and many newspapers don't have all the information, get it to them, and I believe we can continue to impact this way.
Is Israel not destroying the Hamas leadership and institutions because they were elected democratically, or is there another reason why Israel society is not doing that?
Well, as you know, a number of months ago, they agreed on a ceasefire. And there have been, you know, as you know, the very next day, many, many missiles fell in Israel. It took months for Israel to respond even to those missiles. And what we're doing is we're attacking only the actual people who are just launching the missiles. We're not doing anything beyond that. So what we are trying to do, and this is what we've been doing since terror started after the Oslo Accords, is that we keep respecting the so-called ceasefires, and the other side uses them to build up arms, to build up infrastructure. And this is very well reported. Why Israel is doing this is a separate issue, but Israel could. But the only thing we're doing now is literally as they're launching, or right after they've launched, we will target them.
The election, though, is the Democratic election, supposed Democratic election in the territories.
No, that wasn't. Look, we arrested the speaker, many of the Hamas leaders are in jail right now today. Yes.
You mentioned that some of the confusion, much of the confusion, that Hamas good guys or Hamas bad guys comes from government, Israeli and American government.
Yes.
I can understand the American government, you know, the House Intelligence Committee, the Al-Qaeda is a mixture of Sunni and Shiite, so obviously Americans, you know, they have a lot of things in their plate, you know, but in the Israeli case, do you think that the government truly is not aware of the fact that he's brought to their attention, or does Olmert still know full well know, you know, what it is that you're showing and what's going on by the society, but for his reasons, I'm not going to necessarily ask him to speculate on what they are, for political reasons, one to go along with that guy at that time.
Sometimes when I meet with Israeli members of the government and Israeli Knesset members, I find it shocking how unaware they really are of the Palestinian intentions and of the ideology of the Fatah. I'm shocked by it. And this across the board. This across the board, depending, no matter which party they're in. I mean, there are some people who are very aware and they make the point of being aware, but there are others who aren't. I think Olmert has many forces working on him now. I don't even mean the last few days. I meant in the last... He wanted to achieve something. He was hoping that, you know, maybe Mahmoud Abbas could be that person to achieve it with him. So these are all these forces. I don't know. I can't say if he really does understand or doesn't. But I think he believes that he could be a peace partner. Let me tell you something. I negotiated with them. We had negotiations for about 6 months until the elections when Barak defeated Netanyahu. And we met once a week. And let me tell you, when you meet them, especially when you meet them in the room with Americans, and everyone's talking about, oh, let's be reasonable, and the Palestinians in English do sound so reasonable and they're charming, and it's very easy. It's very easy in that type of a setting to get a false impression of the people you're talking to. And they'll say, just ignore our television, we have to do it. And it's possible. It's possible that that our leadership has no idea about what the Fatah stands for.
Yes, thank you. Along with you, in terms of getting the information out, there is so much information out there, it doesn't matter how many people are getting killed on terrorist bombs, it doesn't matter how many rockets, how many people that they abduct, no one cares, and they think that the only way that it is forward to create a state, no matter how bad they are, no matter how much they want to kill us, there's a mentality, especially in the government, to create a Palestinian state no matter what. And I think that's the bottom line out there. No one cares about these things, as important as they are, and as important as your work is, that there is such a desire to create that Palestinian state, nothing will get in its way.
I think to a certain extent you're right. I think that certainly has been a dominant force in the roadmap plan, the Bush roadmap plan. I mean, yesterday you read the American papers publicized that Bush came out with an 8-month plan where Israel has to make all sorts of security concessions over them, and with the assumption that there is a peace process going on, which is, of course, a strange assumption in the first place. So, but I agree with you. There are some people in Israel who feel that it's important to go ahead and create a Palestinian state. They don't understand the ramifications of a Palestinian state. I don't only mean security, the ability to build up an army. They say, oh, it'll be demilitarized because it's going to be a piece of paper. We can't even keep weapons out when they're not a state, when they're a UN, when they're a free state and they can bring in their own airplanes and their own boats and their own ships, when they can control the water. The water issue is something that is so unbelievably important. Just by using the water in Judea and Samaria, which is 60% of Israel's water because it comes under the ground, they could literally destroy Israel. There are so many ramifications of the state that unfortunately our leadership is not familiar with. And I say, it's
even the sewage flowing from Gaza can destroy Tel Aviv.
Please.
Should we make this the last question?
Hasn't Islamization always been inherent in the Palestinian culture? It was just great that one side and more after that another and brought up for convenience during different periods of time. The fact of the matter is that you have to examine the very roots of Mohammedanism and Islamization to get at the truth, because what's going to happen now is that sometimes you're at the core. The Quran doesn't say this or that, and it does not preach complete radicalization and the thing that you showed in this movie. At another time, when it's convenient for them, for their own people, they'll tell them to go right back to the same roots and go on and on and on. So what is being done in Israel to actually get to the root, the fact that the Islamization was always there, as part of the Islamic culture. It never left it.
There's Islam and there's Islamization. The Palestinians have always been Muslims and they've always been believing Muslims, and I think different polls that we've had, 97% of Palestinians over all the years have believed in Islam, believed in the Quran. those same people, one person believes and therefore, you know, the woman walks around with her head covered completely and you can't see her, and the other one walks around in jeans, but she still believes. There is Islamization, and Dan Pipes actually, you know, clearly differentiates between people who believe in Islam. There is the religious, internal religious behavior of Islam, and there is the political agenda of Islam. Certain, I think in earlier periods, not all of them had this global agenda, so that Islam was always there. It has been definitely, and certainly when Israel was ruling Judea and Samaria and Gaza, and they were in contact with secular Israel on a regular basis, they didn't give up their belief in the Quran, but they were not Islamists in that sense. They understood the positive sides of Israeli society. They enjoyed having a good salary. They enjoyed health care, and they weren't going toward Islamization. So, okay. Okay. Thank you very much
for coming. Thank you, Intermar.